Here's Higdon, it sits up nicely for Michael Higdon! And what a start for Motherwell! But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Sutton! Magnificent Malt! Stephen Robinson celebrates! Motherwell, 2-1! Could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr and Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight we've got two games to look back on, two victories, some contracts extensions at Firth Park, another big Scottish Cup tie to look forward to at the weekend, and we'll see what else takes a fancy over the next three quarters of an hour or so. I'm joined by Andy and Pepe. Guys, welcome along.
Cheers, Andy. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well, guys. And we'll start with the Fermartin game a couple of weeks ago. Andy, it's possibly not the headline news. We went to a Highland League side and we progressed pretty comfortably. I know there's been a game since then, and perhaps at the time we'd have been a wee bit more negative about the performance. But I think really the takeaway for me certainly was that it was a professional display. It was never going to be straightforward. It was never going to be an absolute walk in the park. We had to work to get that first goal. After we had managed to do so, I felt we were pretty composed and pretty accomplished.
Yep, job done. Very well done at that. Half an hour into it, maybe not as far as half an hour into it, but early on you're kind of, there wasn't any point during it that you thought, oh dear, we're in a bit of bother here, we're up against it or anything like that, but it was a bit sluggish, a bit kind of lethargic. But really, once we get the goal, never look back, and you know, pretty comfortable winners at the end. Done what you needed to do. Pretty happy with that. Move on to the next round. Not too much else to say about it, really.
Pepe, Andy's summed that up pretty well. There may have been a question that I just asked you that was completely wrong, but the attacking display, a couple of goals for Jordan Roberts, a goal for Chris Long, who has been struggling a bit in front of goal this season. We've got to be pretty happy with that as well.
Yep, I think it was almost Jordan Roberts sticking the fingers up to myself and Andy for being a wee bit dubious about getting his new contract. He certainly put a good shift in, getting amongst the goals, which is great. And I thought the front three linked really well together. It would have been great to see Tony Watt playing against that team as well, but it shows that we have got quite a decent forward line. And I think Jordan Roberts has really added to that, which we've already said is a real surprise. I was just a wee bit cautious that it was 5-0, and it was a 5-0 game, but I just was cautious that I didn't want to get too carried away. It was just, I go back to the Glentoran games and the Corain game where you fully expect to go out and put a performance in like that. And I was quite happy that in the end we did, and we looked quite pretty much clinical. Could probably have scored a few more if we had another gear to go up. So I think it was a overall kind of good team performance and probably a good confidence booster as well, which is important considering that our results have been kind of up and down. It doesn't matter who you beat 5-0, it is a good confidence booster. So I was glad and happy, and the draw has been favourable in the next round. Maybe not so in the next, if we get through Morton away to Hibs, but you can only beat, you need to beat the good teams to win it.
Yeah, you do. And I was going to go on and talk about the draw there. Andy, first and foremost, it's thrown up a home tie against Morton. What you want from a cup draw is a home tie, preferably against a team that you would regard as lesser opposition. That just after finishing an article on our previous six or seven meetings with Morton, in which Morton have only actually scored in one game, albeit they did beat us. And that night that Ian Barraclough basically lost his job as a result of that performance and result. This is a very, very winnable tie. They're not doing so well in the Championship either just now. You come out, you avoid the big two first and foremost. You're happy. You get a home tie, you're happy. You've got lesser opposition or a team in a lower league to ourselves. It kind of ticks all the boxes, that.
That's right, absolutely. Just repeating what you're saying, essentially. Yep, home tie and a team that's a draw against a team from a lower division. You can't really ask for too much more, but I think Morton will always, for those of us of a certain vintage, will always stick our head for 1991, and arguably Morton were the most difficult opponents that particular season, and they should have really put us at the League Cup the same season as well. So they're always a team that kind of stick in the mind for, you know, cup reasons. But as you say, their kind of record at Fir Park is pretty horrendous over the years. And you would hope, given that we've got a couple of wins, I think it's something like four wins, and there's a degree of consistency there now. We know through the kind of the subsequent round being drawn at the same time, we know what the potential lies ahead there. So it's one you have to look to go out, getting top of things right for the word go, you know, put the tie to bed, and then hopefully, you know, look ahead to the quarter final. We can make it as difficult, you know, as we want it to be. I think if we perform as we can, we should take care of it. If there's complacency, slackness, if they're not on it, then I think we've seen in some of the games this season that, you know, we've got a pretty, we our performance like fall away dramatically. But I'm hopeful, you know, the opportunity is there that, you know, we get the necessary performance result and move on.
Andy, I don't think there's much to add to that. The draw for the quarterfinal was also made at the same time, which is different from the norm. That will be played, should we advance, the following week. The prospect of that is a trip to either Stranraer or Hibs. You very much think that it is going to be Hibs. I don't want to preview that game, certainly not when it's not booked in. We've got to beat Morton. But you look at that tie and you're one game away from a semi-final. There is something mouthwatering about the Scottish Cup, and it can get the juices flowing, despite the fact that this season has been a bit underwhelming at times, and we've talked about being a wee bit disengaged at points of the season. The Scottish Cup certainly gives us something to get up for.
Yep. Just to touch on something that Andy said about, obviously, Morton getting the 1991 run that year as well. Rangers and Celtic also met in the Scottish Cup, I think, at this kind of similar round, and Celtic were victorious. So it's another wee omen on the way going forward. And I think it's quite significant that Rangers have played Celtic now. We shouldn't really be focusing on other teams' draws, but what I mean is let's be honest, at this kind of stage, you do want to try and avoid Rangers and Celtic. And as you say, if we do get through Hibs, we've got less a chance of getting one of them. If it was Rangers and Celtic in the draw with you and another team, I can't remember the last time that Rangers and Celtic played in a semi-final. So I think that is significant. Again, it is good, because the league's been a wee bit of a grunter, and I'm kind of it's unusual with the current times that we're in, that you're having kind of cup games really, really fast, and it really does kind of bring the momentum of the cup, and it gets you that wee bit more excited. And I quite like the fact that you know who you're playing next as well. So it has been, they've made, credit where credit's due, I didn't think they were going to be able to fit it in. So I think it's been, so far, with the conditions that we've had, been a success. It's just going to be heartbreaking watching Mullerwell if we do. We're not wanting to preview the Hibs game, and I'm not preempting that we beat Hibs, but if we do, it'll be just such a strange feeling sitting watching Mullerwell playing at an empty Hampden. It'll be just, don't get me wrong, I'll take it, but just in the current times, it will be our luck that this will be the year that we win it, and we can't be there to enjoy it.
Yeah, we're getting a wee bit ahead of ourselves there, but you're completely right in terms of the circumstances and the fact that the authorities have already said that there won't be fans in for the Scottish Cup final. Andy, I don't think it's a particularly significant factor, but the game being moved to the Friday night, I guess when you're playing in a cup competition, there's every possibility that your game might be changed to a Friday, to a Sunday. There's some Scottish Cup games in the last round on the Monday. I don't think it makes a great deal of difference. We're a full-time club, of course. We've just got to deal with the circumstances as they are, and with supporters not being in the ground, it makes it a wee bit easier to change the kick-off times and the circumstances around it.
Yeah, it's no particular big deal for me. Political makeup as it is, the country as we are just now, when a senior figure of the royal family passes away, then there's certain protocols are followed, and you know, to a kind of consistent degree in when these things kind of happen, and you know, this is the kind of done thing, I believe, for a senior figure in the royal family. So you know, it's, they ask sporting events and whatever else to adjust timings by a few hours, 24 hours, whatever the case may be. So you know, those that wish to can pay their respects, no issues with that, you know, at all. So quite happy with the, you know, the change to the Friday night, whatever the case would have been, whether it had been the Saturday night as we went up to Dundee, as you alluded to there recently as well. You know, with the cup fixtures, Sunday lunch times, Sunday after, Saturday mornings, afternoons, whatever, you know, so it's no biggie.
Let's look at the St Mirren game on Saturday there. A 1-0 victory in what was a pretty tightly contested encounter. A big moment in the first half when Dylan Connolly goes down. Initially, I thought it was the most stonewall penalty you're likely to see under the challenge of Stephen O'Donnell. Looking back on it, it's far from the case. It doesn't look like there's any contact whatsoever between O'Donnell and Connolly. Anyway, Jimmy McGrath steps up for the penalty. Good save by Liam Kelly. We do go on and win the game with a Devante Cole goal in the second half. Pepe, it's a massive 3 points, and 3 points that essentially does confirm our top flight status for another season. I don't know whether we'll certainly not take a foot off the gas, and Graham Alexander was keen to re-emphasise that until we're mathematically safe, then we can't turn our attention anywhere beyond the fact that we've still got four games and we're still in a relegation battle of sorts. But I think it's all done but the mathematics of the situation now.
I have to agree with you. I mean, after the game on Saturday, when all the results comes in, I was trying to work out the permutations and algorithms of what could be and what couldn't be. And at the end of the day, it would be an absolute a million to one shot if it was to turn round about. But as you say, if it's not mathematically there, then we still need to go out and do our job, and that's what we'll do. The game itself, I listened to Jim Goodwin after it. To be fair, I think St Mirren are a pretty decent team. I was quite impressed with them. Get a fair bit of pace in the wings. McGrath holds the ball well and distributes it well in the middle of the park. I think they're maybe missing some up front. I was quite glad that John Obika wasn't playing. I always think he manages to get some amazing finish when he plays against us. But overall, they made a start in sports, and we didn't make it up. 64% possession at St Mirren. For me, that doesn't really mean anything. I think that we had the better chances in the game. St Mirren had the penalty shouts. They missed a penalty. They had a couple of half chances. The real chance that they had was John McGrath. But look at Chris Long being through. There's one with Alan Campbell. I think we had the better chances, and we took our chance, albeit with a wee bit of luck. But maybe that's what you need. So I don't think that we were outplayed and we got away with one. I think that was just maybe... It's good that you can win ugly. Because before, if you go back to some of the games at the start of the season, we were playing well, just not getting over the line. Maybe we didn't play to our full capacity on Saturday, but it shows that there's a winning mentality there now, which is encouraging for me going forward. And when you look at where we were when Graham Alexander took over to where we are now, obviously it's not where we want to be, but if you'd said to us when he was appointed after the Hamilton game that get into this game, we'll virtually be safe, we'll have a home tie against a lower league team to get into the quarterfinals of the Scottish Cup, you would have taken that with two hands. So you've got to be relatively positive, I would think. So all in all, again, back to my positive state of mind, and hopefully we can really finish the league with a bit of consistency and a wee bit of excitement added into it, which will make a big difference to people getting back to the football, and hopefully we'll all be back in the stadiums for the start of the season.
Andy, it's a good point, isn't it? Because Alexander comes in after Aki's, you've then got that wee kind of new manager bounce, followed by the horror shows against Aki's, against St Johnston at Fir Park, and you're thinking that it's all doom and gloom. But again, we've managed to pick ourselves up, albeit with blips along the way, the likes of the showing at Rugby Park. But I think we go into these last four league games and however many Scottish Cup games in a reasonably strong vein of form. Yes, we do have these tendencies to put in a horror show, but by the same token, more often than not, we're very, very competitive. We're hard to break down. And that's something else you look at. That's now two clean sheets in the bounce, albeit one of the games is against Fermartin. But you've got to kind of take the positives as they come. We've had a pretty unsettled squad throughout the season as well. You just kind of hope that can settle into these closing games. And who knows what can happen. I think that we could have quite as easily have come out Saturday on the wrong side of a result. But that's exactly as Pepe alluded to as well. We're carrying a wee bit of luck that we perhaps didn't have earlier on in the season. And none of us are going to complain about that, of course not.
I find it quite hard to pinpoint exactly where we kind of stand, in all honesty. I don't go in to games with complete confidence in the team. Put it that way. I'm maybe a bit more sceptical. But certainly we've got it within us, and I think it was laudable. I think we're looking at, he's just shy of a, this is something like about between 45% and 50% win rate. I think it was at 7 wins out of 15, which is pretty good going. Taking over, he's all but banished the prospect of relegation with four games to spare. You've got a potential where you're looking to be in the kind of quarterfinals, all being well, the Scottish Cup. So on the face of it, he certainly delivered everything that you would have hoped for when Graham Alexander came in. In terms of performance levels, in terms of the players that's out there doing it, and in many cases it's kind of slightly odd. And I think that's perhaps where there's some apprehension in there. But maybe we're doing some of these players a kind of disservice in there. But you kind of look at some of them that's involved in there and you think, well, he wouldn't be somebody that you would anticipate being a kind of first pick next season. But they're grinding out the results.
Name them.
It's maybe
name
not
them then.
Well, look at the reactions from a lot of people when Mugabe signed his new contract. Don't need to look too far for, you know, a dissenting voice there, for one. Robbie Crawford, his contract being renewed, wasn't universally received. Even today, when Stephen O'Donnell's, you know, re-signed there, you look down some of the reaction to that, you get people saying they're not convinced. So I just slightly apprehensive about it. I don't know. I think it's just a case of needing to see them a bit more. Needing to see what we've got. I think he's demonstrated that he's been able to take a squad severely lacking in confidence and rebuild it mentally to the extent that, you know, you've won almost 50% of your games. We've got an increasingly good record in terms of clean sheets as well. For the moment, the kind of, and they're mitigating circumstances for both of them, but I struggle to shake off just how abysmal those performances against Accies at Fir Park and St Johnson were. And I maybe just needed to close season that to get that out my memory and then see how we go afresh. So I don't know. I'm still a bit unconvinced, which is a bit odd for me because I'm usually one of these people that's accused of being a happy clapper. But we'll see how it goes. But certainly, where we are just now, I think we've got it within us. I've read in Steelmen two separate people say that we're not good enough to win the cup. And for all I'm kind of slightly cautious and apprehensive, there's absolutely no reason why we can't win that cup. When you, as you've already said, one of the Old Firm are going out, and practically everybody else that's left in that competition, I think we've beaten this season, or taking points off, or decent results. Whether it, you know, been going to Aberdeen and winning, going to Easter Road and winning, you know, you've come up with these performances. Even with it being the cup, you can shitfest your way through it for a crappy 0-0 draw for 120 minutes and win it in penalties if you so need to. You know, so I don't see any reason why we're not capable of winning that cup. But that's a kind of side thing. I'm kind of getting away from the original point. But immense credit to the players and the management for getting us where we are just now. But it's still, I wouldn't say it's a crossroads, but I'm still slightly cautious about what happens going forward. Perhaps some reassurance will come when we see who's being added to those that are being retained.
Yeah, and I think we'll hear more about some of these players being retained in the coming weeks. I think that the focus will be just now on ensuring that we do get the job done, hopefully in our next game against the Accies, and kind of exercise some of the demons over the season that have built up. Saying that, I think we would need to beat them about 14-0 to claim an aggregate victory there. But I think it's very important that we get the job done. And then I know that, as you say there, the signing of Mugabe, or the re-signing of Mugabe, Robbie Crawford staying on, Stephen O'Donnell, I think to a lesser extent, because you could almost brand that as you're securing the signing of a Scottish internationalist there for another 2 years. Most people wouldn't have seen that as a positive, and I think a lot of us were very excited when Stephen O'Donnell came in. It's not quite worked out to the level that many of us would have anticipated, but I still think it's another step in the right direction. And there's no guarantee. I know that Pepe was a bit surprised when Mugabe got an extended deal, but there's nothing to say that the Bevis Mugabe or Robbie Crawford, for that matter, will be first team picks.
So why sign them then?
Well, because it's a squad game as much as anything else. You've got 38 games over the course of the season, plus you're straight away off the bat get four Betfred Cup games, unless we win the Scottish Cup. You've got the Scottish Cup as well. So you're talking quite feasibly a 45 game season. So you're going to need to have a bit of strength and depth. And it must be said, guys like Robbie Crawford, to a lesser extent O'Donnell, and maybe to a lesser extent McGabby as well, although McGabby has come up with a few big moments this season, they're guys that Graham Alexander has relied on and have served them fairly well. So maybe this is him just kind of repaying some faith in them.
I
think we just need to wait and see what the kind of fuller picture is by the time you, maybe not even so much the start of next season, but whenever the window closes. I mean, I've heard people say that Alexander said that he wants a smaller squad, which contradicts all that stuff about looking for two players minimum in each position so you've got high quality training. You can't really have both, surely, and the budget that we're likely to be working with. So what is it? Are we kind of going back to like your kind of Stuart McCall style days where you had that really kind of core 16, 17 players and then the rest were kind of, you know, whatever, you're picking up your Tim Clancy's and free transfers and getting 9 months out of them and, you know, him then moving on or guys like that kind of, the odd youngster coming through? Or is it going to be like what Robinson had actually sought to achieve but never quite managed it, so that you've got your strong first 11 but you've got a strong squad behind that, so that the drop off in terms of quality if one of those first team regulars isn't there isn't that bigger drop? So I mean, I totally get the, you know, the kind of signings of them. If they've demonstrated that there's an ability there at the very minimum to keep you in the division as they've went on to prove since he's come in, then you should know roughly that's the level, the minimum level that you hope to achieve. But I think we're looking to aspire a wee bit more than replicating what we've done the latter half of the season. So the O'Donnell signing for me kind of hints to that, and I would hope there's more to come from him, given the performances he kind of regularly turns in for the national side. And that's the kind of thing that you're looking to build on. We're clearly not going to go out and sign Scottish international players all the time. That's unrealistic. But I think people are looking for, or many, I could be wrong, maybe I'm looking for something, just a wee bit of something, I don't know, a wee spark to indicate that we're going to be pushing on. I think if you get Liam Kelly for another season, then that's another positive indicator that things are going in the right direction. And he kind of strikes you as the kind of guy, much like your kind of Randolphs, Gillespies, Carson when fit, that, you know, can earn you numerous points and give you that platform to kind of build and do something with a season. More of that kind of, those kind of signings are going to whet the appetite. Just now, the kind of re-signings that we've done, certainly Robbie Crawford, McGabby, are kind of more kind of filler. And that's perhaps been unfair to those players, particularly, as I say, whenever they're being part of teams that are getting wins as they currently are. So, but we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see.
See, just on the whole Stephen O'Donnell thing, I think I'm really surprised at that he signed for 2 years. I think it's a brilliant signing, I really do. Now, I totally agree that he's had a couple of games where he's not been great. But I'll tell you what, every team probably bar Rangers and Celtic would take him in their team, and he'd probably get in their team. I think it's a great signing, getting him for 2 years. And I think a bit of the negativity initially directed toward him was because he'd signed on this deal up until January to see how it worked out. And everybody was thinking, right, he's just going to get a better offer and get some more money and bugger off down to the Championship or League One or whatever he was going to end up. And then it was when he signed until the summer, always left it to the last minute because he obviously didn't get where he wanted the deal that he wanted. But now the fact that he's signed a 2-year deal with Motherwell showing us a bit of commitment. For me, he's had a few poor performances. I'd be disappointed to not give him a clean slate. And I was really, really, really delighted tonight when I heard that it was the kind of polar opposite to when Mugabe signed, and I was in tears. And then it was backed up a few days later by Robbie Crawford.
So were we, but I was just laughing at you.
But I mean, in all seriousness, when I think the Donald signing for me is a real coup for the club, I really do. I think it's brilliant. He's not a world beater. I've said constantly he's a 7 out of 10 most weeks, minimum. Aye, all right, he's had a couple of, he's given away maybe a couple of penalties. One Saturday I don't think was a penalty. I really don't get any negativity directed towards us signing a player his calibre in a 2-year deal. But when you sign guys like Robbie Crawford too, let's be honest, he's not done anything wrong, but I can't really remember him. I thought he'd done every time he's all right. As soon as there's going to be anything substituted or anything, he's the first name that comes into your head. The first one all the time. And then I'm leaving, going to start in Mugabe, because I think if I started, he would come up to my house tonight and smash my windies and batter me.
It's a bit time too. The other kind of caveat of that is with O'Donnell, he very much looks like he's a player that's going to be going to the Euros. So that kind of gives you a platform. Yes, he could go and not feature or perhaps have a few poor games. But more often than not in a Scotland jersey, I think Stephen O'Donnell has more than represented himself. And while he's been a Motherwell player, the football club as well, in really good fashion. So that could actually put a bit of attention on him as well. And it drives up his value. We've got him in a 2-year contract. I think that that's another thing that's a positive.
He's almost certainly going to be your most capped player for Scotland now, you would think, with that 2-year deal.
Yeah,
and you chuck in a couple of friendlies, 3 games potentially, and the minimum in the Euros, and you would like to think he's going to be involved. It's not as if he's old and decrepit by any manner. I mean, so he's going to be involved in future squads beyond that. So very good chance he's going to be our most capped player for Scotland.
Yeah, and he's Clark's eyes for me. I think that Clark knows that he's a steady Eddie, and that's why he continues to pick him.
I think the other thing as well is I think financially it's quite rewarding for Motherwell for a player to be taken to the Euros. I read somewhere, I can't remember the figures, but I read that as Motherwell get paid a certain fee if he's picked into the squad. I really think though, only
75,000 euros or something,
which potentially could be his yearly wage. Do you know what I mean? There or thereabouts. So for me, that alone makes kind of economical sense. But the only thing that I think is going to stop Stephen O'Donnell being in the starting 11 for Scotland is the progression of Patterson at Rangers. I can't see Palmer or anybody else jumping in front of him. The only other thing that they might do is if they link, put Tierney to right, I don't know. But I think he's a stick on to play, and it'll be really good. I mean, I'll go back to when Tommy Coyne was playing in the USA 94. And I remember kind of the enthusiasm of seeing a Motherwell player playing in the World Cup. So it'll be little one Scotland playing, but you never know if Declan Gallagher gets back into it. But it'll be great to have that kind of involvement of your country, but your club have an active part in it. You never know. It might pop up and score a goal against England. You never know.
Yeah, that would certainly put a few quid in his value. I think it'll be interesting to see how it pans out, but I've not really seen any of the negativity, because I only found out about it about 30 seconds before we started recording this. But yeah, I think there's a few interesting takes on it. I've seen a few kind of interesting opinions on O'Donnell over his time at Motherwell. I think that maybe people have just thought we're getting Scotland's right back, where we're going to get someone akin to a Kieran Tierney or an Andy Robertson, because that's what Scotland's fullbacks play like. And maybe it's just kind of delusions of grandeur a wee bit in terms of that. What I'll do is, we've looked at the Morton game already. Let's have a look at our next Premiership match, which comes a week in Wednesday, where we travel to Hamilton. Andy, this is the fixture that we don't look forward to ever. It's been an absolute disaster for us so far in this campaign. But surely there's a time where we respond. We've said it now on a couple of occasions, because we lost the last league meeting when fans were allowed in the stadium. We've lost all three meetings prior to the split. Do we get a reaction this time? Very much hope so. And what an opportunity to go there as well and put them right in the brown stuff. It would be very pleasing after our meetings with Hamilton this season.
I don't know. Part of me thinks, see a bit like Kilmarnock, the build-up to that, where we had a break ahead of the game. So since they're last, well, they played Dundee United on Saturday there. So we'll have had the cup tie, where they've basically had 9-10 days, however long it is, to concentrate solely on this game. And there is absolutely no doubt whatsoever they are 100% focusing on this game. They can't beat anybody else, basically. So they need to beat us. And that can kind of go a couple of ways for you. I mean, I remember same team, just roles reversed in 2015. And we went there, I think it was a midweek, or it might even have been a Friday night. And we'd beaten them 4-0 about 6 weeks before it. And they beat us 2-0. Because we were so wrapped up and this was the game that we needed to take care of. We needed to beat them. This is going to be the one that would take us and help us get away for the playoff position. And we shat in the nest that night. And that's what I'm hoping they're going to do. That they're so convinced that they're going to beat us. They're so wrapped up, so focused on it, that they're like, I don't know, they just freeze on the night. And us, with relatively nothing to play for, relatively, are able to do a number on them. I don't know. As I say, though, I think the other half of that is like the build-up to Kilmarnock, that they had all that time to focus on it, where we're concentrating on our things. They've got 9-10 days to prepare, rest up, focus on it. And if we don't have that same level of motivation, then if they get an early goal or two, then they could quite conceivably go on it, and it's another nothing game. But I would love to stuff them. I'm sure everybody wants to stuff them. Partly get back at them, obviously, because our record's so shocking for the last few games against them. But I still want to finish above St Mirren. I think the last time that St Mirren finished above us, I think it was something, was it 1989, I read, at one point. So it'd be sweet to keep that run going.
Scott, it's certainly not a straightforward fixture. Part of me actually thinks that this season has been the season that for Aki's, the bubble has burst somewhat. They've not had those kind of shock results at many parts of the season. More often than not, they've been quite well beaten. Even I know they get the point against St Mirren in the final day prior to the split, but then played them in the Scottish Cup and they're turned over 3-0, and that's the kind of more in keeping with their results this season. The fact that they've had the huge boost to get 9 points against us has helped them absolutely massively, and without them they would be adrift and almost certain to go automatically down. As it stands, they're very much in the mix, and yeah, they may well end up pulling off the great escape yet again, but I certainly don't want to be playing a part in it where we've given them 12 points.
No, I certainly don't. You don't want to give 12 points to anybody. And although I don't particularly feel that the rivalry is as intense as some others, still, what frustrates me more is that every game that we come up against Hamilton, I fully expect us to beat us, because we're better than them. We've got far better players. I just class them as a kind of a wee diddy team, basically, that are punching above their weight, but they've been punching above their weight for a considerable amount of time. And it seems to be that they get quite good at punching us. But again, I'm getting into the game fully expecting us to go out there and absolutely hammer them. I don't see. There's never been a time where I think, oh, Hamilton are in a good vein of form. It just seems to be that they do up their game against us. But I'll be getting into this game full of confidence, despite the last defeats. The games are all in the past. You've got to go and look at it. 11 against 11 now. We're on a wee bit of form, and I feel expected to stick out and win. And I think we'll win convincingly, and hopefully put the first nail in their coffin.
Yeah, it would certainly be pleasant, and that'll take us on. Hopefully, we'll have a Scottish Cup tie to look ahead to after that as well, so that the season won't be over. And there's a wee part of me that, while I must confess I've not enjoyed the football anywhere near as much this season, there's part of me as well thinking, you go out the cup in the next week or so, you get a result against Hamilton to confirm that you're up, and that's us out without football for a couple of months until the Euros, and club football until late July. It could be quite a lull all of a sudden after at least having that kind of escape and release of having the football on a regular basis. So fingers crossed that we've still got a few twists and turns in us. I think the big one to finish on would be the kind of hopes to have Tony Watt back, Pepe, for the cup game on Saturday and going forward for the rest of the season. There's a lot of, and I think it's quite a strange thing that the club have kept up the injury list on the official site. I don't know whether it's really been refreshed very often. A few players that have been out for a lot longer than anticipated. And it just kind of sometimes actually poses more questions than it actually answers.
You know, I'm really glad that I've said this a couple of times. It absolutely drives me mad that we don't really seem to know. And about, I'm, as I said before, I'm not looking to find out the ins and outs of personal details about what treatment they're getting. But I mean, for example, we've signed this guy Eddie Nolan. What is his injury? Nobody knows. Harry Smith just went out to get injured. When you listen to Graeme Alexander in the press conference, it's got to the stage where I've watched the full press conference to try and work out who's potentially going to be playing, who's injured, what's the situation. It is a real bug, bear in mind. Now, whether or not, obviously, it's Graeme Alexander doesn't want to give away any tactics to the opposition, which I understand, but as fans, you're just used to even go back to the previous manager, when Robinson would come in and he would give you a kind of breakdown of each individual, their progress, how far they were out. I mean, on Saturday, the last person I expected to see in the bench was Charles Dunn. I was delighted to see him there. Obviously, Mark O'Hara back. But there's players there that I don't even know what their injury is. I don't recall going through a time supporting Motherwell or even any other teams that don't seem to know, the fans don't know what the actual injuries are to the player and what the prognosis is when they're expected back. I just find it really, really bizarre. And at the same time, frustrating. But at the end of the day, that's the manager's choice. Doesn't matter if I'm frustrated or other fans are frustrated. But I have seen a couple of things in Steamwind online that I'm not the only one that's got to be in my bonnet about it. But I mean, I don't know where you go or
I think you're probably right in that a lot of it is down to managerial styles. Remember, like, you've had varying kind of approaches as to how they do things. I mean, remember, like, Robinson would had them in the dressing room on a couple of occasions. Not for long, but you had, like, you know, the kind of media team in the dressing room immediately after games and stuff. He'd like Stuart McCall used to send you emails, yours in claret and amber, cheesy and corny as it was.
I totally forgot about that.
Other managers just don't go in for that kind of thing at all. I mean, I think you're right though. I mean, I don't think it's unrealistic to have a. We don't necessarily need to tell you that, you know, it's no fantasy football style. You know, Eddie Nolan has 33% chance of playing against such and such. I've a vague idea of what the kind of scenario is. You know, is he likely to be back in such and such a date, or what's happened? That's that. Don't think that's unreasonable to ask without necessarily saying he's part of your considerations for a particular game or whatever. But I do think it possibly just boils down to the kind of the style of the manager.
Maybe it's influenced by the fact that his last job, it was virtually every decision that he made was televised, and I don't know, maybe he just got sick of it and felt as if that was his whole job was videoed, basically. Now, I don't know, I just find it, particularly with the signings that we made.
I know what you're saying, it's not like, you know, like David Turnbull coming back out the blue is going to change your team. You know, we're talking about like a 35-year-old loanee who hadn't played for his parent club for 6 months before he signed for us. You know, it's not as if he's going to be like make or break between staying up and going down or winning a cup or no winning a cup or something. You know, it's not unreasonable just to find out what the deal is.
Yeah, and I think with guys like Nolan, they seemed like quite curious signings to begin with, and then when they come and feature. Well, the same as Foley, really, in terms of when you're featuring that little, you kind of question what the point was in the first place and what the rationale behind the signing was. Now, while we're never going to find that out, they've then just been added to a list that they're injured and we'll never hear anything of them again. It seems very likely at this moment in time they'll never feature. We'll go away without having kicked a ball for the club. And kind of to a lesser degree, Harry Smith played a few times at the start, but he's quickly dropped out of favour and get nowhere near.
The three players that you've mentioned there all had injury issues with their previous clubs, and we got and signed them in January. When you look at the stats, game time doesn't lie when it comes to stats, so they're not going to be up to speed. They're not going to. So for me, that is one slight concern. Now, he didn't have a great deal of time. He flung into the hot seat in January. Now, this is sounding contradictory to what I'm going to say, because I said I was quite happy. We seem to have improved from where we were. But the real... we've got a bit of a rebuilding job coming up. We've already discussed who we would keep, who we wouldn't keep. And I think it's going to be really interesting, the recruitment from now until... To the start of the next season. It's going to be really, really, really crucial. Be interesting to see how much Alexander has in that. Is it still Martin Foyle? Is obviously, I know at Salford it was Greg Strong was the recruitment manager. So I don't know. I really do think that I'll be really interested to see the kind of calibre of player. Is it going to be going back to the... Not going back, is it going to be a continuation of going to the National League and League 2 and League 1? Or are we going to look elsewhere? I don't know, but I would like to hope that we sign players that are at least going to be match fit and take an active part in games.
Yeah, I don't think that's much to hope for, really, or ask for. We'll wrap that up here. I did have a 5-minute conversation dedicated to Liam Polworth misses his Twitter, but I've decided to not dwell on that one. Guys, thank you very much for your time.
No bother.
No, I think you've got to talk about Liam Polworth's wife's Twitter. I think you've got to.
All right, okay. Well, I'm giving you a...
Sorry for the bloody sweat, but I just think it's hilarious. I really do. I think it seems to be a common theme this season that the players' wives are taking to social media and defending their men. And I just find it funny. Although maybe Liam Polworth's wife's maybe taking it to the next level with saying she didn't particularly like the manager, and then the next game he's out the squad. But fair play to her. Seemingly she's going to have a mud wrestle when the Mega Bar when it opens back up, so that'll be a good to see.
Do you know what? It's I've always found it quite a curious thing that there's that connection. I've noticed it with a few players when they sign, though. There seems to be a few that kind of almost seek out that player's partner and such like on Twitter. And I don't know, they're almost kind of, fair enough, you're following the player, but do you really need to know his family and everything else as well? That's pretty strange to me, to be honest. But yeah, it seems to be a few battles this season, and I'm all for it. I do very much enjoy the drama of it.
You wonder what he said, but you wonder, could you imagine if it was your partner or your wife or whatever had went onto Twitter or Facebook and said, my husband's boss is a complete twat or whatever you want to say? Imagine Liam Polworth sitting on the bench or up at Fermartin, sitting in the bus on the way back, then going onto Twitter and seeing his wife virtually calling out the manager. I'd have been priceless to see his face. It's brilliant.
But the thing is, if there was a few people relating it to kind of, oh, if that happened in my job, I'm nowhere near an important enough person that my boss would give a flying fuck what my missus wanted to say about him. I'm just such an insignificant part of the chain. I think there was always stuff about how we vetted a lot of players on social media prior to the arrival at the club. I don't really. Does this really matter? Like, there was people getting properly irate. He should never ever darken our door again, type stuff. But it wasn't him that said it. He's maybe said something behind closed doors, but he's certainly not taking to social media to do it. I don't really know what. Liam Polworth's been put in a pretty bad position there. But Liam Polworth's performances have put him in a worse position than anything else.
I think that's an important factor. I think his attitude, but I think personally, what I think if you look at Jordan White's missus, who was the same, she had a kind of more valid point that he wasn't really given a chance. He wasn't really given a chance because he was written off before he'd even kicked a ball with Motherwell. But I think the difference with Liam Polworth, she was getting quite nasty, and it almost, to me, it appeared as if she had just put a status on Twitter of what he had said, and that's probably what a lot of people, and I can understand why they get pissed off, because these guys are getting a lot of money to play football for a club that we all love, and she's sitting virtually saying Motherwell's a shithole. So aye, fair play to her.
Andy, there's not really much to add to it, is there?
No, I'm just sitting and enjoying it.
Well, thank you very much for your time tonight, guys. What a note to end it on.
Sure not.
Oh, it's comedy gold, I think. I'm looking forward to
comedy gold. More light, not so much gold.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back following Naki's game next week. Until then, thank you, goodbye. I couldn't get any thinner. I was counting out the calories, fats and sat fats for my dinner. I think I'll go see the butcher, get myself a choice slice. Then a trip to the dead-eyed fish and silver trays of ice. Go treat me. No thank you. Thank you. I was sort of happy. I had a token for the trolley. This is my price promise to you. Double points on selected goods. I was counting out the kilojoules and playing with the controls.
of happy. I couldn't get any thinner. I was counting out the calories, fish and chips for my dinner. I think I'll go see the butcher and get myself a choice slice. Then a trip to the dead-eye fish with silver trays of ice.